The next era of Bucks basketball is here.
Lillard, three-pointer for the lead. It's Dame time.
Giannis just inside the three-point line, working on Orlando Robinson. Spins around him, and goodness gracious.
This is Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks.
Tonight, we'll unpack it all with a guy who's been in the middle of it all. The president of the Bucks, Peter Fagan. And our special guest tonight, who's traveling with the team, is Bucks general manager, John Horst. By far the best record in the league. And Chris Middleton is a huge part of that thrill ride.
The source for the inside scoop on every dribble, drawn up play, and decision made. Now, here's your host, Gail Klappa.
Hello, everyone. I'm Gail Klappa, and this is Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks. We're 10 games in. The long NBA season is off and running. On the hard court at Fiserv Forum, we're seeing the early days of a new era of Bucks basketball, a new coach, a new system on offense and defense, and a new superstar joining Giannis in the quest for championship glory. Tonight, we'll get some insight. We sit down with the architect, the guy who makes the trades and negotiates the contracts, the executive in charge of basketball operations for the Bucks, general manager John Horst. John, thanks so much for joining us again here on Courtside.
Thanks, Gail. I'm excited to be on with you all.
Terrific. Always fun to visit with you, John. And John, I think it's fair to say that nobody would ever accuse you of standing still, but to level set our listeners, could you quickly recap, if you will, kind of the major contract extensions, player signings, and trades? And there were a bunch of them that you negotiated over the past few months. And John, you must do really well without any sleep.
I guess that's a gift. Thanks for the intro. And I think to summarize, you know, the off season, a busy off season, as it should be. We have high goals, high aspirations for this team. We have an ownership group with Wes Edens and Jimmy and Dee Haslam and Jamie Dimon that have invested in this organization, this franchise, and really at a championship level. And it's our jobs to put the best product on the floor each and every day and each and every season to give ourselves the best chance to win. And you know, really starting in the off season with a coaching change, which is always a hard thing to do, bringing in an entire new group of coaches. We've had some change in our medical group. We, you know, had some early free agent and draft decisions that we had to make, and we're able to, you know, start with the last pick in the draft and end up drafting two young players, Andre Jackson Jr. out of Connecticut and Chris Livingston out of Kentucky. That we think have bright futures in our organization. Going into free agency, we thought it was important to retain as much of our core, high-level performing core as possible, and we're able to figure out ways to continue to work with Chris Middleton and Brooke Lopez, which were great opportunities for us. Found ways to bring back Jay Crowder and Thanasis, who are our key parts of our core depth as well. And, you know, and we were, you know, lost a few of our guys that were really important to us last year. And that just happens sometimes in the NBA and free agency. And then, you know, the big trade that happened late, kind of off season, headed into the early preseason, was very hard. You know, it was an incredibly and rare and unique opportunity to get a player like Damian Lillard. To do that, you have to give up something, obviously, and that was really hard. You know, be forever grateful for what Drew and his family brought to this organization, not only on the floor, but off the floor in our community. But again, a rare and unique opportunity to acquire a talent and a player and a person like Damian Lillard. And it's been fun acclimating him to our organization, helping he and his family settle in our community. And we're just couldn't be more grateful and thankful to have the opportunity to work with him. Been great to see what it's done for our ticket sales and his jerseys that sold out immediately after doing the trade. And then kind of the last, you know, part of the off season, we had an opportunity. Giannis is eligible for an extension. There was a window to offer him an extension, and, you know, spent a lot of time with himself, his representatives, my front office, and really put a lot of great work with our ownership in trying to put some proposals and opportunities and information in front of them and have those discussions, and ultimately landed the opportunity to continue this relationship with each other and extend our window and our opportunity to compete at a championship level year in and year out. And so says more about Giannis and his commitment to Milwaukee, to this organization, and to winning than anything. And so forever grateful for the person and the player that he is as well.
So enormous amount of work to shape the roster this year, John. And the Bucks obviously now have two legitimate superstars on the roster, two actually of the best 75 players of all time in Giannis and Damian Lillard. We've seen so far, John, flashes of real brilliance, but an offense that's also struggled a bit, particularly, John, in the first quarter.
Yeah, I think change, I believe, Gale, is sometimes necessary. Sometimes it's the right thing and it's good, but it's always hard. You know, I think people always assume that when you make changes and when they appear to be obvious, positive, productive changes, that that means it's seamless and it's easy, and that's almost never the case. And I think what matters is the character of the people involved, the agenda and the motives behind why you made the changes and what you're trying to do and the goals that are at hand. And I have full confidence in the people that are part of this makeup, from the coaching staff and the players and the front office and the ownership and the medical group. I have full confidence in the talent that we have and full confidence in the ultimate fit. But it'll take time. You know, it's Giannis and Dame have to figure out their rhythm. Chris has to figure out their rhythm with those guys. You know, we had somewhat of a disjointed training camp just due to some minute restrictions and coming off some injuries and off-season surgeries with Chris and Giannis. Dame going through the trade issues that he had to go through. You know, early on in the season, Chris has been on a minute restriction. He's done incredibly well. He's played incredibly well with that, but that's limited the time that they've gotten together. Dame, more recently, has had a couple of games that he missed. And so I just think it'll take time. You know, we have time. We got to continue to get better. We have to have progress. We got to be moving in the right direction. And we are. And I think, part of that is Coach Griffin and the system and the styles in which we're playing and trying to figure out the things that, you know, we've been great at and that we want to continue to be great at and that will contribute to winning in the playoffs when it matters most, but also figuring out the things that we want to do differently and new and better that will help us be more dynamic and more capable of winning the playoffs. And the regular season matters. And so we've got to figure out how to win now and figure out how to continue to improve and put a great product on the floor each and every night now. And for the most part, I've been very happy with our progress and our development for the early part of the season.
And John, you mentioned Chris Middleton starting the season on minutes restriction. In the past few games, just from my own humble opinion, he looks like the Chris Middleton of old. And he made a big contribution in Monday night's win against the Bulls.
Yeah, Chris really, you know, in my opinion, is moving incredibly well. He's always been such a great floor leader. You know, kind of like a coach on the floor. He's really engaged on both sides of the basketball, offensive and defensively. His shot making has been very good. You know, we just need to continue to get him on the floor more, and the more that he plays, the better we'll be. I feel like that's always been the case. Chris is a really high level player, high level person, high level professional. So it's been great to see the hard work he's put in, you know, throughout the offseason, coming off of a surgery and the rehab that he's done. It's great to see him perform well because he's earned it and he deserves it. So it's been fun to watch.
We'll have more with John Horst in a moment. This is Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks on WTMJ.
This is Bucks Weekly on WTMJ. Now back to Courtside with Gale and Bucks General Manager John Horst.
John, we heard of late some injury news early this week. Jay Crowder, one of the veteran players that you brought to the Bucks late last year. Jay, we understand, will need to undergo surgery.
Yeah, Gale, you know, he sustained an injury in our game in Orlando the other night. It was unfortunate and kind of just a freak circumstance. He has actually had surgery, and the surgery went incredibly well. He is in recovery right now. He'll start an extensive and thorough rehab soon. And I fully expect Jay to be back, to be healthy, be better than he was before. Silver lining of injuries and rehabs is you get a chance to work on other things in addition to the rehab that you're doing. And so, you know, Jay is a man of high character, an incredibly hard worker, very motivated to have a great year this year. He was really playing at a high clip for us, and we're going to need him. We're going to need him the back half of the regular season. We're going to need him in the playoffs. We're going to need his veteran leadership and his voice, and we're going to need his skill on the floor. And so it's unfortunate. It's part of the game, part of the business. But silver lining is I know Jay will come back stronger and better than he was prior to this injury.
And, John, the early indication was that he might be off the court for perhaps as much as 8 weeks.
Yeah, I think these things are always a little bit tricky. That's based on, you know, what typically happens in the rehabs for these types of injuries. That's a kind of a best guess right now, you know, best projection. But, you know, you really take them day by day, week by week. And so as we go through it, as we learn more, as he progresses through the rehab, that timeline will really become much more crystallized. But I think at this point, this early in the whole thing, that's a good, it's at least a good estimation.
John, switching gears a bit, a new name to the Bucks, Marshawn Beauchamp, seeing meaningful minutes this season. And John, you drafted Marshawn last year. He looks like a keeper.
Yeah, you know, really excited for Marjan for the opportunity that he's getting so far. You know, he earned, you know, chance last year to play in some meaningful games. And I thought for a rookie campaign, really had a really nice rookie year, played in, you know, over 50 games for us and played, you know, 10 to 15 minutes a night and did some really great things. And Marjan put a lot of time into his body and his game in the offseason. He put a lot of time and work in last year during the season as well. And he was really prepared to take a jump. And I think so far we've seen it. He's made a jump. He has the ability to impact the ball defensively, probably 1 through 4. Offensively, he's opportunistic and takes advantages of what he gets, knows how to play with the ball, play without the ball. He's been able to drive the ball effectively and finish around the rim. And so for a second-year player, you know, at just 23 years old, and playing on a really good team, I'm excited for the contributions he's been able to make, and he's just got to stay consistent and stay focused, and I think good things will continue to come his way.
And John, another new name to Bucks fans, Malik Beasley. He's turning some heads in the early going this season. John, tell us, if you will, what Malik brings to the table and why you work to bring him here from the Lakers.
Yeah, I think on our team, and it's always kind of been the case, when you get a chance to play with Giannis and now guys like Dame and Chris, we believe that you can grow and develop and become better in our system and better around our players than maybe where you have before. I think that Malik is a guy that has a chance to contribute to winning basketball with us. He's an elite floor spacer, a guy that can really heat up quickly, as we've seen. Smart player, you know, offensively knows how to get his shot off, you know, knows good shot selection, really competes on defense, on the defensive side, and just another guy that we thought would be a great opportunity to come in and help us. But we also think that we can help him. We can help him at only 26 years old, reestablish his spot in this league and really have an impact on a winning team, which is really what teams are looking for. And so was very thankful that Malik chose us in free agency, and so far I've been very happy with what he's contributed.
John, I assume along with Dame that Malik will really help spread the floor. The guy's got really great three-point shooting accuracy.
Yeah, he's a career, you know, not only in high attempts but high efficiency. He's a guy that has been able to get up a number of threes and effectively, you know, finish and make those shots at a high rate throughout his career. And so I think, you know, shooting is always something that you need. You need it in the playoffs, you need throughout the regular season, and Malik is one of the better shooters in the league. So again, just really grateful that he chose us in free agency.
And we'll have more with John Horst in a moment. It's Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks on WTMJ.
You're listening to Bucks Weekly on WTMJ. Here's more Courtside with Gail and Bucks General Manager John Horst.
John, we all know that pro basketball is a business. But you mentioned earlier that it was tough for you to trade Jrue Holiday. Great human being, beloved here in Milwaukee. Tell us about your thought process, your emotions, as you made the decision to pull the trigger on what truly is a blockbuster trade.
Yeah, I think the process is, and you mentioned process and you mentioned emotion, and I think unfortunately in this business to do things and to be successful, and it's probably not just this business, it's probably in life. Sometimes you have to separate emotion and process. And I think I believe we have a job and a responsibility to this organization to constantly look for opportunities to improve and get better. And we were clearly not looking to trade Jrue Holiday as part of that. But when you get that rare and unique opportunity to engage with and pursue a player like Damian Lillard and a person like Damian Lillard, you have to be open to all potential possibilities. And it ended up being the case that trading Jrue Holiday was a necessary part of that. And, you know, you go through it. You're rigorous in it. You evaluate it. You discuss it. You don't rush to any decisions. You try to think about every angle and every element that could go right or go wrong, what you could be missing, if the obvious things are accurate. And as we went through that, it became clear to us that this was the right thing to do. We believed in it. We were convicted in it. And we pursued it and attempted to execute a trade. And so, you know, there is, of course, an emotional side to that. But I think you have to protect yourself from that. You have to take that burden on yourself or as limited amount of people as possible, because it is an emotional decision when you're talking about someone that's given as much to this organization and this community as Jrue and Lauren and their family, which we'll all forever be grateful for. We're all champions in large part because of them, and we'll never forget that. But you have to kind of take that burden on yourself and kind of move through it and limit the emotion of it as much as possible to try to make the best, most logical, calculated decision you can. And I feel like that's what we did in this case. And, you know, and we'll see how it turns out.
I suspect it'll turn out well. There's certainly, as you said, an enormous excitement about having two of the best 75 players of all time chasing a championship here for the Bucks. And, John, I would be remiss if I didn't ask you about our new head coach, Adrian Griffin. What made Adrian stand out to you, John, as you worked your way through the interview process?
Yeah, I think, you know, the almost 25 years of differing levels, high level of NBA experience, from playing to pursuing a coaching career as an assistant, then becoming a top assistant for some of the most demanding head coaches in the NBA, and now ultimately a head coach. I think he's a terrific communicator. He's an incredible person, proven to be a willing listener and to take input from players and make adjustments early on. He and his staff are working, you know, incredibly hard, putting in the time, you know, that it takes to really be great. And the beauty is in the work, as he says, and things are not going to be immediate in this league or in this business. And you have to continue to work at them and study and push and adjust when needed and be convicted when needed. And that's someone who we thought we were hiring, and he's proven that so far. And so it's fun to see him getting used to all that it encompasses of being a head coach, you know, the duties on and off the court, managing staff, the pressures and expectations of these jobs. But Griff's doing a great job, and really excited to have him here with us.
And John, last week we were fortunate to sit down here on Courtside with Coach Griffin. He said something that really, really resonated with me, John. He was talking about his philosophy, his approach to coaching, really his approach to life. And he said something that again, I thought was just fascinating, but so insightful. He said, talent alone doesn't win championships, but talent and character do. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I completely agree with him. You know, we probably take that into a micro level in our decision making. You know, a lot. You know, Milt Newton, as you know, our assistant GM, who's been with me my entire time here and is a great partner, always shares, you know, something that he learned from Wayne Embry, who obviously Milwaukee fans can relate to and who love and respect for everything he's done for our community. You know, Wayne used to tell Milt that talent without character is no talent at all. And I just think that the character component, whether it's, you know, how it builds a player specific, how it builds an organization general, and kind of all the different areas, is a big component, and it's something that's talked about a lot. How do you define it? How do you assess it? How do you develop it? Those are things that I think good organizations do well. But character is a big component of what I believe builds success, because adversity is going to happen. There's always going to be ups. There's always going to be downs, kind of no matter what happens. And talent is going to go up and down, you know, with that adversity. But if you have character, I think that really is what differentiates you and allows you to kind of work through things and end up on the top more often than not.
That makes so much sense, John. And finally, John, there's something new shaking in the NBA, the in-season tournament. It's already underway. How about give our listeners just a quick snapshot of your view of this change and the debut, if you will, of the in-season tournament?
Yeah, it's a bit of an unknown, I think, for a lot of us. This is new. I think we're all very interested to see how it plays out, how it turns out. The early returns have been incredible. Kind of fun to see all these different courts, you know, individually designed courts for each team, specifically for these in-season tournament games. We were able to debut our City Edition uniforms in our game the other night against the Knicks, our first in-season tournament game. We have our second of these games coming up this week in Charlotte. And it's fun to see how it plays out. You know, we have the remainder of our pool play, as I mentioned, to Charlotte on the 17th. Then we play Washington at home, and then we're at Miami on the 28th. And then we're on to the tournament. And the teams that qualify for the tournament really have a position or an opportunity to prepare to play in something kind of like a playoff format and to have to play in an environment and atmosphere with intensity and with a prize that's at stake. And I think it really allows some interesting development growth opportunities for teams to use an in-season environment to prepare for kind of a postseason opportunity. And I think it's great for the league. I think there's been a lot of interest around it, a lot of excitement around it, and I like the themes and just the different things they've done. So just a lot of excitement and just interested to see how it all plays out this year. And obviously at the end of this season, we'll know a lot more about it and the impact of it.
And the finale, John, will be early December in Vegas.
That's right. No better place to do a tournament.
There you go. Well, John, always so great to visit with you. We learned so much. Thank you so much for your time. And you've been listening to Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks on WTMJ. So long, everybody.